too fast. You all do. And then we spend needs today. You know, makes a good opportunity to do that. So, devote a good spare, good shot of time. It's nice to break out of a pattern. You know, and when you're missing a pastor, that's a good time to do that. So, that's. So, gentlemen.
No, thank
you for being here. Well, I can say I actually feel happy to fill in. Well, thank you. No, let's not do that. I move this back. Well, as I've mentioned, I actually didn't mention for a while because I didn't want to have it key in on something, you know, that a discussion that had been had in the a while back, but. It's been on my mind, and it kind of always is, because I've come to not like anything to do with the works of men and legalism and trying to keep the law and whatever, those types of things. And so there was mention. Oh, gee, it's hard to do this without. Maybe I should qualify and say, I don't know who this tape goes to, but hear from my heart. It's not a judgment, but just from seeing the scriptures, because it's helping answer a question for me too. And it was, you know, it was mentioned that there's still a couple feasts that we should keep. And I thought, well, what would that be? And I know there's it says baptism, and I don't know if that's considered a feast, and communion, which could be because they were having supper, is to be kept. And but, you know, beyond that, well, let me share in Hebrews. I was just, had been listening, and then I went to reading. And just right in the beginning here, I'm going to go back to something that was brought a week or two ago. You know, right in the beginning of Hebrews, and I think the context that it was brought in about being heirs was in Romans. Well, in Hebrews, right in the second verse, it says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. So, he was appointed, he is an heir, just as we are. And we're to be heirs with him. And then over in 6 it says, and I just had this question to myself, was, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, firstborn of what? See, something's been just kind of reaching in just a little bit, and I want to preface this too. I've had this feeling within me, like, boy, if we just keep listening to this word, somehow we'll figure this out, kind of what he's trying to be. And then I thought, no, what am I doing? You don't figure nothing out. When he wants you to have it, he'll give it to you. But he's created a taste to want to have it. And so, you know, I've had this question, I brought it up a few times when we're having discussions, some of us and whatever. Firstborn of what? See, I think the scriptures are pointing to the fact that Christ, when he came, was born, was the start of something totally new and different, which means a new creation. Now, it may not be evident necessarily in the physical, but it is because of the fruits of it, you know. But it's like, so when it speaks about since the beginning sometimes, well, the beginning can be the natural, or there can be a beginning for the spiritual. Because when it says when Christ came, everything that's done, basically, if you are listening, and I think you're hearing this, says it gets done in your heart and your mind. A renewed mind, a renewed spirit mind, and a renewed heart. Written. And that was the other thing. You know, it says, and I'll read it here in a little bit, but I will write my laws and my... And I caught that this morning, the key. I will write it on their hearts. Not, we need to study to get this on our hearts. Not that we need to go and hear this guy to get it on our hearts. I will write it on your hearts. And so, based on that, a scripture came out in Hebrews 9. I also ran, if you don't mind, I'm going to throw in all these other little things I ran across. And it says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now listen to this next part. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey. Oh, you mean when he was born and came into this world and everything, he wasn't perfect? That doesn't look like it, does it? Because he's a son of man, which we are. But we become heirs with him, sons of God, which he is. Now, I'm not saying, you know, there is a distinction there, but although, you know what? This morning I was reading something and I thought, maybe it isn't that big a separation in the end. You know? Because I'll tell you, I'll go back and I'll tell you. Because it says, and of the angels he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son he says, because this throws me, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Okay, so now if you went that far, you would say Jesus Christ is a God. Because that's the way. But then why does it say, therefore God, your God, has anointed you? So, you know, there evidently is something different there about if God makes you a God, or if he can, or if he wants to, or whatever. That it seems that's in there somewhat. You know? And it could go back to when Jesus says, to those of you that the word comes, you are gods. Now I thought, well, I could throw in there, does that mean you are God's possessions? You know, that type of thing, gods? So I don't know if there's apostrophe S or not, you know. Yeah, probably not. So then, see, that just throws another. But, see, that good part is, you know what? And when God wants us to know that completely, he will give it to us. So anyway, in chapter 9, it says, and this is all due to the priesthood and everything, you know, if you read before this, but it was symbolic for the present time. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect. Now listen to this. In regard to the conscience, okay? Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. When was the time of Reformation? Isn't that when Christ came? So it says Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. So I just read that, you know, and I thought, And then I went back and it was like something kept saying, read that again. So it was symbolic for the present time for the Old Testament to be doing these things to help clear their conscience at the end of the year because of sin, correct? And it was a work, more or less. But really it wasn't, because God got upset when they made it just a work and not an act of their heart. See, even in the Old Testament, it was always supposed to be heart. You know, heart, obedience, mercy, grace. So it says, who performed the service, cannot make him who... So in that Old Testament, you could not do anything that would perfectly clear your conscience, more or less. Well, then it goes over to verse 14. How much more shall the blood of... See, and that one verse didn't necessarily do it. It was when I kept reading, and the Spirit just pointed out another part here. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know what that says to me? If you have not had your conscience cleansed, you will want to keep a feast or a law or something. Won't you?
Yes.
Because your conscience is saying, no, I'm a guy, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I need to do something. God says, I want to deliver you from that. That's why I say, enter into my rest, that you would cease from your own works. You know, and I think that so ties in. And to me, I mean, that's why he said I was upset with them back then. Yes, I gave them things to do, to honor, because that was the covenant back then. But I wanted it from their hearts. And then what happened when it wasn't from their hearts? They made up their own idol to worship and their own forms, their own works. So, I mean, it seems at first that this really, oh, what's a big deal? But you know what? If your conscience isn't cleared from this, then you're always going to want to do something that you think will make up the difference.
Yes, that's good.
You know, and I'm finding out so much lately. I just can't do that. I can't. There's nothing I'm going to do. And it seems hard, because then I stop doing what I think and thinking about what I think I should do to go be a good Christian. And I end up with, I'm not doing anything. It doesn't appear. But see, you can't do nothing if you're not sent. Truly sent. If the Spirit doesn't send you. You know, and I thought about that, about the disciples at one point. He said, well, first of all, the whole key was Christ. He says, I am sending you. They didn't come up with the idea. And I'm sending you with nothing but a cloak, shoes, no food, no, so that, you know why? You're not going to get too distracted when you can't go spend money somewhere, or you can't do this, you know? The point was, I'm sending you to present the gospel. The Spirit is going to move, because they healed, they delivered, right? They discerned who would accept them and who wouldn't. All it says is wipe the dust off your feet. You know, and we think about, I mean, think about today. Well, we better have 150 music ministers and 5 different ministers on the podium and da-da, and we better rent a stadium and we better provide food and coffee and drink, da-da-da. Right? Buses. We got to have buses when we travel. You know, and we got to have shark skin suits and... Right? That's an old form of a suit that was wore by the... I don't know where... I used to hear that all the time, but see, that was back in the, I don't know, 60s, I guess. A sharkskin suit was a very expensive suit worn by the wealthy. So anyway.
Before my time.
Well, I'm long-lasting. No. But, you know, I mean, some of that's, and you know what, and then I started thinking this morning, and it was really appropriate when I heard the music, the song that said, how much do we believe, I don't need the gold and the silver? How much do I believe? I noticed lately, I've been getting pretty concerned over the lack of some funds. But why am I really trying to have the funds? Because I got all these things I want to do. And then I started thinking, you know, when I thought, now if he takes away all my funds, that doesn't leave me a whole lot to do but what? Because some of us need a 2x4. Me, I'm talking about. You know, I started thinking about, I mean, that's, you know, that seems kind of light. It's not. If you really think about it. And you know what? I just heard a comment, and maybe I shouldn't throw this out, but obviously, with this few people in this building, we may be facing some circumstances. But you know what? I thought, and it was funny, and I said, and then I got a little fearful because I just had been preaching, and not preaching, but sharing this fact that, you know, stress can, a lot of times, can bring out those cancer cells. And I think that's what happened to me way back when I was working and I got the few little things that I got on my skin. And all of a sudden I went, jeepers, don't get stressful. But you know, it was a fear, and you know what the fear did? It turned me to Him. Because I went, Lord, I don't want that. I am not going to let this get to me. If I can't, then I can't. If I don't have, then I don't have. You provide if I need it. And it was kind of funny because all of a sudden, because I have to go, I mean, I'm having some dental things, you know, and they're not cheap. And I need to kind of take care of it because you got to eat, basically. I mean, you know, it's just something you should probably do. And I thought, Lord, I'd really love to have you just put that in my mouth. Because I know you've done it. You've done it in this area. I know I heard this testimony years ago when I came here that there was a Hmong church that the Spirit moved through it and God healed their teeth. So if He can, obviously He can do anything. I mean, why would He, if He can heal a withered hand, why wouldn't He put teeth, you know? So anyway, that's the way I'd like it to go. But I thought, no, Lord, maybe there's a lesson involved and maybe I need to know how to sacrifice. And so then all of a sudden this thought came, well, you could go here and ask if you can draw this money at this time, you know, without a penalty, you know. So I did. I went and I said, yeah, up to this amount, which will cover the dental. So that's what I'm going to do because, you know, it's like you could say, no, you can't touch that because, no, if it's a need, I have a need. And if I need something tomorrow, then He can provide tomorrow, you know. So, but what it did get me doing, as I said, was thinking, do I need gold and silver? Just, you know, when we, you know, that's a beautiful song. We just sing right along most of the time. It doesn't convict us one bit, you know. But then conviction is His timing also. So then, still in Hebrews here, I'm sorry. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And what if you don't do that? What if you don't want that? Well, in verse 10, 29, it says, how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified a common thing, an insult. No, I'm not reading that right. Who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, no, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, isn't that what counted the blood of the covenant means? So, you know, that that's strong language that you could be saying to someone if they're doing that. But you know what? Do you want them to lose out? No. Do I want to lose out? Am I doing this? Yeah, I've been doing this. My conscience has not been completely cleansed of works. I don't want to do that. See, that's the whole point of this word. And you know what? I didn't say, I need to go to Hebrews 9 and read verse so-and-so. You know what that was? I will write on your hearts my law. Right? Isn't that what that's doing? He's directing. He says, all you do, I mean, there are a couple things, says, hear him. Hear him. Because, you know, when they did not enter into my rest, they did not obey. And he gave just something simple as, here are the commandments that I want you to keep. I have provision if you can't. You know, I'm not going to condemn you. By the end of the year, I'm going to have priests that will go in and wash your, you know, for the whatever, make, you know. So, that's, if you just hear him, he's writing all this on our hearts. Because that's obedience to hear. Hearing is obedience. You know what? Doing the works of God is what? Believing God. Because there's a scripture that says it emphatically. The first work, you might say, is to believe God. And then to hear him. And then to obey. And I can't obey all the time. But he has provision for that. He didn't say, I'll write it all on your heart overnight, in 1 hour, in 1 day. But I give you a provision while I'm doing that. If you'll just always come to me with repentance, then it just keeps getting wiped out. And I would say that, you know, if you keep coming to him and say, Lord, clear my conscience today. You know? Clear me of this works mentality. Because it's deep-seated. And it is so camouflaged. I mean, so camouflaged. And you know, if you go out and you do something, God doesn't just not honor some of that. You know why? Not because... And you know, here's the tricky part. If you decide to go out and minister and you do it because you think the Bible says go out into all the world. See, here's a trick question or statement. Present the gospel. Well, if you haven't been hearing and having it written on your heart, what are you presenting? You're not probably presenting the gospel most of the time. But say you go out and you do your ministry. And you think, well, look at, I'm getting results. Woe to you, O puffed up one, because all he's doing is honoring that other person whose heart wants to come to him. You know? And he may be allowing you to do it, but it's not maybe his perfect will for you. So yeah, but what if none of us go out and do anything? You know what? If you really look around, and what are the results of what you've been doing? A watered down church who, like he says, you go out and make them as bad as you are. And so what if it goes 50 years, 30 years? When God wants the true gospel presented and he presents it, do you think he'll get done what he wants done? Can he do it in a day? Can he do it in a day? Yes, he can. And you know, that's part of hearing. When you start knowing that, that's to build your faith, to be able to be long-suffering and patient for him to say, okay, I'm sending you now. I'm sending you now. Yeah, but I think I heard his voice. Well, the minute you say, I think, you're in jeopardy. You haven't. But I have the Spirit. Yeah, well, we know about that too. That's been presented quite a bit. What Spirit? That Spirit is really good at camouflaging. really good. And there's times when, you know, you could say, well, yeah, but you should just act, you know, just step out. I've not stepped out so many times and I felt guilty, but you know what? I wasn't convinced. And if I'm not convinced, should I just step out anyway and call that bravery? You know? I don't know. There is a point there where you can step out in faith and God may honor it. I'm not saying that. But I just think that if we're hearing and we're getting truth and knowing His Word, I think it's going to be easier and easier to know His voice when the shepherd says, go get this sheep. I want them for my flock. You know, that's another thing I came across. I'm sorry I took a little extra time here, but you know, a good percentage of this book is not necessarily evangelism. If you read through a lot of this, it's continually talking about equipping the saints for the ministry of edification of the body of Christ. You know why? Because we're perfected. No, honest, that's why. Because we're not. We need this. We're not what we should be. Or sometimes you can be and don't continue to be. You know? I mean, I think most people, when they're first born again, are in a beautiful state. Because they're, you know, to them, I mean, if you've had a genuine, repentant change of heart, you feel like you're brand new, starting over, and you're willing to do anything for God. And then as the days goes on, and you're in the wrong environment, that can all get changed, taken away, influenced, you know. But if you stayed right in this, and that's all you did, and then I started thinking, yeah, man, why aren't this, that. And then I thought, how much am I really availing myself to the Spirit to be used? How am I knowing the heart of God and some of what He wants when maybe I pray, geez, I don't even want to say. If I said 5 minutes, I might be wrong. You know, a week, a day, whatever. I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to drop a bunch of guilt on us, but you know what? I'm getting to the point where it's time I wake up. I'm kind of slumbering, you know, to a certain degree. I mean, how much can I really... And I understand mercy and grace. And I know He's bringing me along. So it's not like I'm in this total guilt trip or anything else. I know He's going to get me to where I got to be. But part of that is, along the way, is conviction. You know, so that you open up and you begin to be willing to sacrifice at least, you know. And it's amazing how busy you can make yourself. It's amazing. And you know where it really comes home? And I'm not necessarily in this position anymore, as many of you are. You know, I get convicted a lot of times when I read the Scripture when Paul says, well, you know, the problem with being married or whatever is that you're concerned about this one's da-da-da welfare. And isn't that easy to do? That's not blaming. It's just easy to do. Now, you do have to be concerned with that if you're married. But it can consume you too. You know? And I think there's a way for both people in a marriage to be totally given to God and still meeting one another's needs. You know? Because you know what? And Paul speaks that, and sometimes I get kind of mad at him because I'm going, yeah, Paul, because you've chose not to do that, and then there's somewhere, and I don't know if it's Paul, it says some are given to be eunuchs or whatever, you know what I mean? See, there are different calls of God on everybody's life, and the body of Christ needs them all. And some shouldn't be married. But it's not bad that some are. It's good. And some should be preachers. Some should be evangelists. Some should just be comforters, prayer warriors, givers. Some people are just good at giving. They have a heart that God put in them that just gives. And He keeps it there. I mean, He keeps the funds there to give. Because that's what they do. You know? So, you know, we're not supposed to all just be alike and do every part of that. Different gifts, different ministries for different individuals to help edify the body of Christ.
The last couple weeks I've been having these scriptures keep come at me and think about them and, oh, you know, anyways, and, oh, I wonder how that fits in kind of thing, you know, like I'm trying to fit the scripture in. Anyway, what I finally settled on was here in 2 Peter in the first chapter, and there verses 1 through 11. There's some things that are said in here. He says, they're talking about Jesus, and then he says, according to his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life. And then in verse 4 he says, that we might be partakers of his divine nature. And then I was like, oh, so he has a divine nature. And then down in, and then it just continues, and it says, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make sure your calling and election sure. Which, you know, how do you do that without words? It's like, you know, it's hard. But anyway, so I thought I'm going to read this to you out of this New Century version. Now, it isn't hugely different, but just a few things, and then just how it, you know, just see how it does for you or whatever. But anyways, it's from Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To you who have received a faith as valuable as ours. I thought, wow, is my faith so valuable that I would want to say, you've received this faith that is as valuable as ours. Because our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, does what is right. Grace and peace be given to you more and more because you truly know God and Jesus our Lord. Okay, we have to know him. Then, I like this, because in King James it's according as his divine power hath given us all, blah, blah, blah. Okay, this one says, Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. Jesus called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he gave us the very great and precious promises. With these gifts, you can share in God's nature, and the world will not ruin you with its evil desires. You don't want to be ruined by the world's evil desires. You need to start partaking of God's nature. Because you have these blessings, do your best to add these things to your lives, to your faith, add goodness, and to your goodness, add knowledge, and to your knowledge, add self-control, and to your self-control, add patience, and to your patience, add service for God, and to your service for God, add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to this kindness, add love. If all these things are in you and are growing, well, I have to tell you, they're not all in me and they're not growing. That's what I would want. That's what I should be seeking. But anyway, they will help you. If all of those things are in you and they are growing in you, they will help you to be useful and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who does not have these things cannot see clearly. He is blind and has forgotten that he was made clean from his past sins. My brothers and sisters, try hard to be certain that you really are called and chosen by God. If you do all these things, you will never fail. Wait, you will never fall. And you will be given a very great welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That's what I want. And I guess, I mean, it's just, gotta know him, don't we? We gotta get to where we really know him. We've gotta know him. And that's the most important thing. And yeah, it might sound selfish, but you can't help any, you know, it's like the old, you know, if you can't help yourself, you aren't gonna be able to help them either. You gotta get yourself okay. You know, if I was in the AA thing, they'd say, you have to clean yourself up, you can't help your, you have to make yourselves okay for, you know, it's the truth. I have to be okay before I can help you. And I have to be okay before I can tell them. And then, you know, hopefully the ideal is so full of him that it just overflows, and then they see it. And then they ask. And then, you know, it's just right there. But we do have to know him. We have to have that relationship that is just so one-on-one. Me and him. Us and him. Us and him. You know, it'll go out. But it's got to start with yourself.
The theme is works. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to say the thing that captures it perfectly. You know, that's the natural man thinking. It's what we do. We.
If Corky were here, he could.
Corky,
okay.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think we are. We're trying to. They talk about herding cats. I think we try to get it. We're herding cats, but that's not going to keep me from taking a shot at herding cats here. I was thinking about, you know, Ken was contrasting the old and the new covenant here, and thought about the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan, kind of a Gentile, and she asked Jesus. She said, "I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And, you know, it was characteristic of the folks in the Old Testament, and it's characteristic of us when we're in the natural, to want to try to get it just right, get the right location. You know, we want to be in the right place. That's what we want. And where is it? Is it this mountain here, or is it in Jerusalem, or where is it? You know? And Jesus' message to the woman is, no. Place doesn't have anything to do with it. It's got to be spirit and in truth. You know, that's where it is. It's not place. And in that same way, keeping the Sabbath is not a debate over whether it falls on Saturday or Sunday. That's not it. It's entering into the rest, you know, whatever the day is. But boy, you know, we just don't feel comfortable doing it that way. We want to know, what is it? Is it Saturday or Sunday, or, you know, is it in this mountain, or is it in Jerusalem, or what? You know? That's just that's somehow the way we come. And I know there's a church that believes that we are not to engage in any kind of works. They say baptism is a work. So is communion. Communion is a work. So, no baptism and no communion in this church because that's works. You know? Well, kind of got to ignore some scriptures or to come up with that one. But I suppose they're kind of right. You know, baptism is a work, and communion, yeah, that's a work too.
But so it's keeping the commandments.
Well, yeah, I know. If you want to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, it is. That's not the way to do it. It's not the way to. Hey, this is work, so we're going to be totally clean of works. No baptism, no communion around here, because those are works, and we're going to be perfect. No works. No. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. You know, there's portions of the scripture that no, that just doesn't make sense in the natural. That's all right. To get it in the spirit, to get it in the spirit, doesn't mean we're going to have a perfect ledger in which there's the work side is just totally clean. That's not it. That's not it. It's doing it in the spirit. It's doing it in the spirit. That's the work, or lack of it, whatever, you know. The natural man so much wants to have a clean ledger. If the rule is no works. The rule is no works, okay, no works, no baptism, no communion, no, you know. And I think in that same way, you know, what I'm saying is characteristic, just generally, of the body of Christ, that, you know. And it's kind of characteristic of us too. I hope we're on the right path on that thing. But I suppose we could get ourselves fooled. Whatever. We think, ha ha, we got this, you know, and no. My feeling is the Lord has it set up in such a way that at least here on earth, it'll be different in heaven, but at least here on earth, we're not going to be able to get it right. Not going to happen. We're not going to be able to get it right. If we got it right, we'd be in heaven. We wouldn't be here on earth. And so, you know, that's not that we can't have something like a very perfect relationship with Him. We can. But as far as all the events and the things we do, you know, we're not going to get that right. We're not going to get that right.
Had a lot of things rattling around there in my head this morning, but just going off on what Charlie was just talking about with works and faith, and in James 2:14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. They go together. You can't have one without the other. You can't do works without having faith, and you can't have faith without doing the works. That's the way Jesus presented it. That's the way He set it up. One other thing that we were, Susie and I were talking about, was actually from a song that we had heard, and it was It was about Jesus being the image of God. The mirror image of God. Yes, the mirror image. That's even more kind of defines it. Everything that Jesus did, you can't separate those two either. I mean, God and Jesus, okay, we have an understanding, I think anyway, about Jesus being a man. I mean, I think it's quite clear in the Bible that he was a man. But you still cannot separate him from God. He is the mirror image of God. He's the voice of God. Everything he spoke was what God gave him to speak. So, you know, we've had a lot of conversations about this and a lot of stuff from the pulpit here. And it's a struggle because, I mean, there's scriptures that kind of indicate a little bit about Jesus being God. But there's a whole lot of scriptures that says he isn't. That he's a man, you know. There's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So, but you still can't. They're still joined. They're still one in a sense.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot to read a couple things in Hebrews when I was there, but I was just reading that again. It says, I will put my laws in their mind, and I will then write them on their hearts. So, yeah, you know what? Do I want to murder? No. Is that keeping the law? Yes. Right? The whole point is, and it was brought out there. What happened was the minute that it says, you know, God says, well, I want you to keep, then man says, okay, so if I go, like, if I make this ledger, see, that's, no, from your heart. When you go out every day, if you have the heart of God, you'll do the works because it's from your heart, not because you're trying to keep a law. You know, you don't go out and kill for what reason? Because you know it isn't right and you don't want to take somebody else's life. That's the heart of God. That's a law he's written on your heart. Don't covet. You know? All those things, it's from the heart. And, you know, and sometimes, see, what happens is, if it says feed the hungry, well, that's a kind of a human compassion in a sense that's with a lot of people. But if you go do it because you think it's going to gain you something in God, well, then that's where you're starting to make it a work of the wrong kind of work. You know, do it because it's a compassion, it's a thing in your heart, and you want to help somebody. And that's the only reason you do it. You're not trying to gain anything, you're just trying to help. So, anyway. But something I did forget to read when I was going through, and I had this the festival in mind. Well, when I got to the end of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 15, I ask a question, and here's the verse. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Is this the feast? See, the whole point of a feast was to acknowledge, wasn't it? Aren't we supposed to in this new covenant? Doesn't it say we can do all those things every day, every minute if we want to? Correct? I mean, that's the part of the new covenant. You want to keep the Sabbath? Keep it 7 days a week. How do you do that? Well, that means we can't go work. No, because that's the wrong work. Keeping the Sabbath means I'm not going to do anything on my own for him that he, right? Let him do it in me. That's the rest. He did the works. Now, you know, and I had that in my mind. He said, well, on the seventh day he stopped because he had did everything. Well, then I was reading about the the 40 days in the desert, and he said, I did all these works, or you did not acknowledge my works when I did all these things, a pillar and all that. And I thought, well, he ceased from his works. Well, see, you can get caught up in making one statement, try to cover everything. You can never do that with God. Now, I had another thought pattern going this morning too, and Gene kind of hit it on a little bit. It was kind of interesting because I went to 2 Peter where you were reading from, and this is not, I want you to really be open to, but I read verse 11 in the, it says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what I wrote in the preference was not God and Savior. And then I had an arrow and it goes down to verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Only reason, seeing that what I was saying, and it kind of, you, it gave a good example, because when you read from that other version, it said, everlasting kingdom of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. See, this is the part that when you have to keep hearing, because it's real easy just to make that assumption. But it says Lord, it doesn't say God. Lord can be either or. And then if you keep listening, I mean, what seems to me is, then you come across the verse, five verses away, that kind of puts it in perspective. You know? Because also, when you listen, you find out in the Old Testament, all the time, or I mean not all, many times, it states God as the Savior, as the King of Kings, as, you know. And so, Jesus, being the mirror image, came the same way. You know, I mean, it kind of fits. But you know what? See, you know where we get in trouble? Because with our human mind, it's impossible for us to conceive that we are supposed to become like Him. Not by works, not by what you can do. That's the part that stumbles us. Do you think He can make you a mirror image of Him? Do you think God the Father can make you a mirror image of Him if He wants to?
Yeah. Yes.
There you have it. I got to hear that about 10,000 times a day. It's probably what I need. See? That's going beyond your human mind. That's going into the spiritual mind. Yeah, but we sin. Yeah, but you know what? Even that, you know, and a little bit on what Charlie said. If you confess every sin you know right now before God with a true heart, really wanting, and you also ask Him to forgive you of any ignorant ones that you do, would you be perfected in that point? I don't think you have to be in heaven to necessarily be in the perfect state God wants you in. I mean, heaven's got a whole different reward. You know, and so now going along with, see, when Gene, and this is what we are, this is what we all do. Okay, for you to better understand this, let me put these words in there to make you better understand. And you know what happens right there? That is a nullifying the Spirit teaching you. See, if the Spirit is going to teach you, then you don't have to have the exact wordage embellished. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, it's like, because if that's the case, I'm going to give an extreme example. Then when, pretty soon, we should have a rapper's Bible. Right? Because that will relate to them. You know what? You may have to go out and you may speak the first parts of the gospel, possibly in a language to wake them up. Do you think you're going to have to teach the whole Bible after that in rapper language? Not if you're being taught by the Spirit. See what I mean? I mean, absolutely none of the translations are perfect. They don't have to be. Because that's the written word. We're to get it by the Spirit from the written word. So, because I've had these thoughts, I've thought, man, if we could just bring this kind of music in, we'll draw all these people. Or if we just would play all this music we used to play when we were in glory, and it was, and you know, some of them are good because you know why? They're simple. But the fact is, yes, that might get the attention, but that's not going to carry them on. God may use it to get their attention. I've had all these, I thought, visions for how to minister and bring people, you know. Oh, yes, go play the blues where they hear the blues, you know, and da-da-da. Well, yes, you might, to a degree. But after that, you have to let the gospel presented by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit. Because each one has to receive by the Spirit, be taught by God. That's what it says. But see, that's our works. Well, if we write this translation with these up-to-date da-da-da wordage, yeah, you're going to get some attention, but that's not, you're not going to get the truth by changing the words. Right? Spirit comes from, truth comes from the Spirit. Is that making sense at all? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm off on a wrong tangent or something, but that's what's impressed me so much by the fact that the Spirit teaches you. It really doesn't necessarily, I mean, it could be, you could have one that's really far-fetched, I suppose, and then you'd be stumbling back and forth all the time, you know, if there was a really wrong, totally wrong kind of a translation. But for the most part, it doesn't matter which one you're reading. The Spirit is teaching you. And so, the Spirit will direct you to the truths that are needed for you. You know, it does, and it won't matter necessarily if they were flowery words that made it sound better or not so flowery. You know, it's not going to matter. The Spirit is going to put it in you. God's going to write it on your heart and put it in your mind. He's going to put it in your mind. That's the hard part for us humans to accept. And you know, that's faith and that's works. It's, you know, and we do stumble over that all the time. Faith, works, faith. Because I yet don't have a good clarity of what real works are and what real faith is, you know. And that's what I gotta wait somewhat on. I mean, you know, but if I keep listening, it's obvious that by us listening, we're getting, God's bringing us somewhere. I'm confident of that. He's bringing us there. We're on the right path. We're all veering here and there. I am, you are. I'll speak for myself, but, you know, sometimes that's stupid to say. It's obvious we're not all there. Somebody'd be there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but, and then I started thinking, you know, like, yeah, and I'm lacking in this totally. If a lot of this word is how to edify the body, and, you know, and it's, and we only get together once a week, and I realize, you know, you got to be careful here, but it's like somehow, I've been feeling just lately that maybe there's something else that needs to start coming that helps us get to edify one another. Where maybe it isn't going to be in the Sunday church service. Maybe it's an evening where we just get together and pray, do whatever. Try to be led by the Spirit for that night. And not counting it all of it just today. But at the same time, see, I don't want to be totally dependent that I have to be this or this at a certain, you know, be here, you know, because this is in me. It's, the church is in you, you know, and I just read a verse this morning. He was the mirror image, and it says that you might receive, it's talking to the, you know, the church. The fullness of God. Man, the fullness of God? Are you kidding? But it's, if it says that you would, is it possible? It's possible. I believe it. You know, I can't see it. But part of faith is hoping for what you can't see. You know? So, there's a lot of ends to tie in there. It's there's a lot of stuff that's hanging out here in a frizz that's supposed to get woven in, and I believe he'll do it.
I have always felt that the time that the Bible was written in, the word Lord was used so much to as an honor of a name for people. It was like our Lord and Master over here. It was a reverence of honor that was used on a daily basis for a head of household. And to me, it seemed more like, you know, instead of we say Mr. and Mrs. Smith or Mr. Smith, they would say Lord Smith, because it was a term of honor. And I think a lot of times, for me, that's how I've looked at when we see, you know, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as a term of honor, not so much as making him Lord. Okay, personal opinion. For what Jean had said, it just, you know, in the personal relationship, I was just reading through Philippians. And, I mean, it's Paul and Timothy, and in the third chapter, in verse 7, this just kind of jumped out at me. But for whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing, thank you. It got stuck. Greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is my faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead.
I just noticed I did something that wasn't all just sensitive. I went and took that part of what Gene read, and I don't want to wipe out all the other that Gene said. That wasn't the point, okay? Because the whole thought pattern was the fact of being personally coming to him and being like, so I that was not to detour from the essence of what you were bringing was right on, okay? Just, I mean, sometimes, you know, you go pick something, and then just because it happened to be in my margin that I'd written something, I didn't want to take away from what she brought, so don't take that that way.
Somebody did already?
Yeah.
I didn't
I have a little something to say about Lord. When Gene and I were in Peru visiting my sister, we went to a evangelical church. You know, it was in Spanish, and we didn't.
We think they were spirit-filled.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows whether they were spirit-filled? Anyway, the pastor was very animated, and that was good to see. But the only but we got something out of the sermon, and that was he kept referring to Señor, Señor, and he was talking about Lord, In Spanish, it's Señor, and maybe the Spanish speakers have a better revelation of what that word Lord is all about, just because it happens to be a word that they would be using in the regular vernacular. Back in the day of King James, there were plenty of lords around, so Lord wouldn't have been restricted to that. We don't use the word Lord. Well, we talk about landlord, I guess, don't we? But aside from that, it's pretty much restricted to the Bible. There is one little thing, though. I don't know if this is just in the King James, but if you see Lord written all in capitalized and the print is a little bit smaller, that is Yahweh.
Or is the tetragram?
Well, I don't. Yeah, when it's capitalized and the print's just a tiny bit smaller, that's not whatever this Lord word is. It's Yahweh.
You're right.
So
capital L, capital O.
Right.
Right.
Yes, capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Yahweh. And I don't know if there's an occasion in the New Testament where they do that. I don't know, but. But that's when you see that's a reference to Yahweh. I don't know, is there more? I tell you what, I'll get down and I'll wait about 45 seconds. And if nobody gets up, there's more. Okay.
I don't think you wait,
Chuck. Keith isn't feeling really good. He's trying to be sick. He's just laid out. And he says he doesn't know if he ever want to see another bean or another piece of celery with peanut butter. But he'll be on his diet again, I'm sure. He wanted me to read something to him this morning, so I thought I'd read it to you. In the book of Revelation, it says, "In the spirit of the bride, say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, or words of the book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." That sounds serious.
It does.
You know, some people say, well, you know, take your religion kind of seriously. Well, I don't call it religion. I call it Christianity or just Jesus. He which testifies these things saith, "Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Because so many times we hear of this church or that church, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and they're taking away that because that doesn't fit, and adding, and I think that those are serious scriptures there at the end, and behooves us to memorize them.
that was about 45 seconds, wasn't it? Up there, we can come on up.
Has been going through my kids and my grandkids and my great grandkids. Pray for the rest of us that we didn't get it.
Oh, I know, jeez.
I want that flu bug.
Poor Dustin, he just went through the mill.
It's like a couple of day thing that you get.
Yeah,
it's really good. It tastes like horrible.
I had my doctor's appointment one day, blood tests, x-rays, which led to the CAT scan, and they all came back.
They all came back bad?
Yes.
Bad?
Yeah.
So, no, I don't accept that.
Okay.
So,
and well, according to the first readings of everything, I have lupus, and pulmonary fibrosis, and so, which if it continues, well, there's no cure and no treatment really, so, which means I probably won't see my kids graduate. So,
I rebuke that.
Yeah,
Jesus. I rebuke that curse that those doctors can put up on.
Well, I mean, I have to see a specialist on Wednesday, so if he sees things differently. So.
Okay, here's a good thing to keep in mind. You go to that Bible, and you read every case that was diagnosed, and then you see the effect of when they were touched.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Diagnosis doesn't mean death. Okay?
Amen.
Okay? And you just keep reading.
Yes.
And then you ask for the will of the Lord, whatever His will be. But don't pronounce nothing that you can't see it in the future.
Thank you.
Okay?
I'm just that stupid.
I know, and it's a first reaction, and it's an honest reaction. And it's just, you do have to accept the fact something's going on, okay? I mean, that's just that we're in this world. But we have one that's not of this world who says, I can change whatever I want to change, and I can correct whatever I want to do. So I know it's going to take some time for all this to, but just do that. Just know that there's an answer, okay? And there can be a good work all the way along. Because you can be a kind of an example no matter how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to go to Him. So, and there's nothing wrong with you feeling the effect of, you know, all these words. That's human. That's part of being in this world. So.
Well, there are realities.
Yes, there are realities.
And
there's
there
also hope.
Yes.
Yeah. So
there's a reality I'm thinking of, though. You know, the Lord Jesus said that healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. And to think of us not going to the cupboard and getting the bread out, you know, that would be, we need to go to that cupboard. We need to go to that cupboard.
And in my own case, numbers came up. But I said, Lord, confound them with their own numbers. So confound them with their own diagnosis.
Because you
can go to that doctor in 2 days and have nothing.
Yes.
So, Lord, we just place your precious hand upon Jesus. Just touch her, Lord. Touch her, Lord. I rebuke that enemy, Lord. That his voice is not allowed to come in there, Lord. Just keep him out, Lord. Let that spirit, that ministering spirits of God and of angels come in there soon. And Lord, we know that in 2 days you can completely reverse everything, Lord. So we just are depending on you. Lord, just come and give that spirit of peace upon her and comfort her heart, Lord. Comfort her spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Comfort those of her family. Yes, Lord. Just touch her, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Just be with her, Lord. And minister to her. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Lord, that you would not be plagued by this ominous uncertainty, though. cracked the hold of that thing by now, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
An enhancer.
Sue would be able to rest in peace, oh Lord, regardless.
Yes, the natural man, of course.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I didn't want anybody to know until I told my
church man.
Oh,
good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just keep lifting you up.
But you can tell anybody else you want.
Thank you. Mm. Yeah, the last few weeks and days, with God, you never know what it is. I always have God's word, listening, reading. Just maybe I haven't been as diligent, but it's still there, all right? And I just have this thing that just recently, even though I haven't been in God's word, like sometimes I do, it is really a big, like thick reality, and I'm becoming very strong and very comforting. It's like a verge or something. I don't know what that is.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're looking for big things to happen. Mm-hmm. But I've been recognizing tons of little things that he just keeps doing where I have a tendency, I want to get all worried about, he comes in and he just says, wait a minute, and something comes to me out of the word or whatever, and says, no, wait a minute, I don't want that. If I really want what he wants, I don't need money, you know, or whatever. I don't need a relationship necessarily either, you know, whatever. So, but lots of little things just coming up, and I don't know if you've thought back how many people we've prayed for in the last year, and there's been lots of positive things that have changed and come out of that. So maybe we don't recognize sometimes because they're not huge healings necessarily, they're just little things, you know. I mean, look at how much Keith changed in just his diet. You know, stuff like that. I mean, little things that it's God at work. Jean, look at where she is walking. Incredible. Walking where she is with what's affecting her. And Charlotte maybe hasn't seen all the positive notes yet, but Charlotte's here and she keeps coming. And, you know, but just, it can happen in a day. I mean, I think about that woman that had that blood issue. She'd been to every possible person that should've been able to help her, and they couldn't. And then all of a sudden, one day, boom! You know. So
sometimes you think that having a great thing of God will mean that this building will be full of people.
Right.
But maybe not. Maybe we might not see each other ever again. Because that's what we want. Our minds. We want. Well, if everybody's here, we must be doing something good. But maybe not. Maybe when God does His great big thing, it might be the last day we see each other. You know what I mean? Maybe not. But it's not a cookie cutter thing.
That's right.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Right. I was up last night, in the middle of the night, and I was going through the religious channels, and they were talking about always the money, money, money. And it was just like, if I had that man in front of me, I would have said, I would have. You are an abomination.
Amen.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
I would have. Yeah. I wish you would have been in my bedroom.
Yeah, so. I was calling up on little candies and we turned the TV on or something. We were doing something on babysitting. This guy, he was so. It just shook you up.
Yeah.
You wanted to call him up and say, go home.
And it's all sickening.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes,
you just know in the spirit that this is
the
God.
Yeah. We talked a lot about faith this morning and stuff, and I don't know if we heard it somewhere, but anyway, every step that we take, if you don't know what's ahead, is a step of faith.
That's right.
Every step. And this is kind of a, you know, way to look, a different way of looking at
the more simple
what we don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we always think if we're taking a step of faith, it has to be this big giant thing.
Right.
You know, or big.
That's kind of what I expressed very well. Mm-hmm. There's been so many little steps of faith in the last year here, you know, that
just the way we are as humans, we always the negatives overshadow so much. I mean, one negative can overshadow 100 positives.
Yes.
Easily.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When we were driving with Joe that day, we come up over the hill, and this lady was coming in the truck, and she was over about this far in our lane. And it was like, I didn't think, turn the car. It's like my hands would, it's almost like God turned the thing over.
Because
I thought, it's like.
Isn't work something that more like a fruit also?
Should be.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It should be a fruit of
it God should be doing. A fruit. It should
sometimes
be,
sometimes we do this work.
Instead of an act.
Instead of an act. There you go. That's a good way.
Yes.
I was going to have to say that, but it's so short. I think
I'll probably get up there for 5 seconds. We've gone.
That's right. I don't think I hear it. No, that's what we need to do. It's got to be long. One sentence sometimes, like the day that Sue got up there and
said that.
Yeah.
Jesus did that all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
One word. Yeah. Sometimes can convict or.
Yeah. See, and in the church website, I'm kind of thinking about putting a link, like a PayPal link or whatever. Just you guys are there, but Cookie's not here. But about. I don't know who would donate, but I know we can do the rope or something. Just put it in there. If somebody wants to donate, I don't know who's listening, and I don't know who's picking it or whatever. But just put a little PayPal. So are you, Charlie, familiar with PayPal?
Oh, I don't know that there is such a thing.
Okay. So maybe we'll stop.
Dug over here.
Okay. Well, the treasure. Charlie comes in.
I have actually a PayPal app on my phone, but it was so that my friend, or the guy I work for, Andy could use it as a show where we have.
So maybe
I don't know how to use it.
We just have
he uses
it right now. We'll just make those.
You know, that's interesting. I've heard little comments in the last couple of weeks that I wasn't aware of as an elder, but that we could be a little pressed. Is that true? Financially?
Well, we're doing okay. Now, the roof situation is.
Yeah. You know, and you know, this, and it's a little bit right along what you're saying, but I was sitting there this morning and praying kind of, and I thought, and it was like, you know, Paul, he never needed anything or whatever, and he said, I've abounded and I've not. And, but he would ask sometimes for other ones to support over here. They didn't ask for it, but he saw the need. So then it would be kind of like, well, then maybe it shouldn't come from me, from being here. But it was like, you know, I almost felt like to get up and pray this morning, and just because if this goes out and people read or hear, you know, or read, what do you hear or read online? the way we present it.
There's hearing,
isn't it?
You can press on it so you can hear today's testimony or tonight's sermon.
And just say, you know, many of you, if you've been acquainted with our ministry and you still have any connection with us or feeling
been
for us,
by
yeah, we could be blessed by any contributions.
So let's see, I'm Corky. He can figure. I mean, I can.
But at the same time, and that thought pattern, it was, but Lord, if it's your will, if we don't need this building or if we don't need this whole thing or whatever, but try to guide us, try to show us what to ask, you know. I said, you know, and I had the thought too, well, fill it up. Well, no, that may not necessarily. First thought. And then that's when the other thought came, like, just ask those who haven't. Well, some of them love us. Mm-hmm. There are people out there that do and have a connection with us. And if God puts it on their hearts, that maybe they would support.
Might be a really good way to do it on the internet, because people maybe don't even know how to if they want it.
Or maybe people that have been listening to the CDs.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant. That kind of that they're part of it. And you know what? There's even people that yeah, they're not here anymore.
Oh, we have needed.
And they don't know, and that have been here that necessarily aren't here, but they're not our enemies, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, because here's what the thought was. Lord, this church has always given way more than what it seems like it has, you know. Well, now he knows that anyway, but right. So he can bless us if we just have faith. And say, well, no, he'll provide a way, we can do that too, you know. So either or. Or both.
Or all.
Yeah. But it is, I think it's probably something we need to be aware of and pray for. Pray that he provides.
Well, let's just do that then.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Well, there you go. That's
right. When we pray, I want to pray for my mom. She's got a depression, and it's like a spirit. It comes to her I don't know what, boom, he's there. She cries. And
she said that last week when she was here, she felt teary.
Yeah. She's got her eye thing, whatever, so she could, tears, I don't know what. But also, yeah. But she's got, I mean, I've never seen a such thing, but all of a sudden, it's an attack. It's very, and I recognize it. Mama said, that's a spirit. She didn't like very, she doesn't want me to talk to her about nothing, between Genesis and Revelation. and you know what? Are you going to honor whatever she was? Saying, oh, well, then I won't. However, I can pray for her.
That's yes, right.
I thought, Kenny said, she's my mom, but I mean, the Lord is my strength, and He's my happiness, and He's my joy. This sounds super harsh, but I don't need my mom, and I am not responsible for my mom's happiness. But I, you know what I mean? She's my mom, and I love her.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's right.
But she, and we'll pray.
Yes.
Maybe the devil's trying to get at you.
Right. So I'm being strong and kind. Yeah. And Candy, she's sad that she feels guilty that I came over here. But I said, Candy, I said, you need to rely on the Lord, and Jesus needs to be your strength. Anyway, so let's just pray. It's a spirit. It's a very much a spirit. And I told him, I said, Mom, so she thinks because she said, well, you're a Christian, my mom thinks that my life should be a smooth ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I said,
Peace, smooth ride, no.
So God, Jesus, is our comfort of one another.
Yes.
You know, like, sometimes we say we are Christian, or some of us, we are God dependent. You know what I mean? That's a good word.
Yes.
You know, because when you say Christian, and people, it is the right term, but people think
right.
It means, you know, smooth ride or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, we are God dependent.
Right.
That's what being a Christian.
That's good.
She could be here just for that very reason.
That
was all acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know?
If she does, I'm going to listen to her alone. If she wants to hear me talk, I will talk to her. But Jesus, I'm telling you, Jesus went, he preached, he left. He didn't beg nobody.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me please explain again what I'm trying to do. Jesus is what we need to go by. Jesus went, he prayed, he left.
He says it really clear. If they accept you,
put
your peace on it. If they don't, shake the dust.
Yes, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless you, Lord God.
Yes, God, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You rebuke that enemy, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Rebuke that spirit that
was yes,
drag her down in some ugly hole.
Yes.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Rebuke that. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, just develop this trust in us to rely on you for all of our finances for this body of Christ, Lord. Yes, Lord. You guide and direct. We believe in you. We know you will take care of us, Lord. So Lord, meet our needs. Make us whole. Bring us along. Rebuke those spirits working. Yes, Lord. Rebuke that enemy.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I believe you can do a mighty work in his father's mother. But it's up to her. It's her will and all, Lord. So you work on that, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You know how to manipulate around some of that, Lord?
Yes, God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just become prominent in our life, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let us allow that to happen.
Yes, Lord.
It would keep
and keep.
Yes, yes. Yes. Lord, we ask you
yes, the recession would come against and against that virus that would come against anyone else, Lord. Rebuke it, lift it from him.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Just protect us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Rebuke any kind of virus, Lord, that would bring us down. Yes, Lord. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, is the whole roof leaky dead? Can't there just be some patching? Even though it has to be done eventually someday. Have they been talking about just patching?
We're in the process somehow of having some roof fella come over and look it over. Now, I suppose if he said, you folks don't need a new roof, what you need is a roof, then, you know, I'm supposed to be, but I think it's old enough, so.
I thought of that, too. I mean, if that was the absolute only thing we could do would be to keep that from leaking, but the problem is, if it's curling there, well, it's curling on this side, too, and it's only a matter of time.
Right.
You buy more buckets, that's all.
You know where I'm at? You give this one up, you give you one that fits. I don't worry about it.
Whatever.
I'm not very petty of it, right? Are you?
No. We sure do have a lot of outside people that depend on
it. I know.
You know? Hey, speaking of which, there's a Glow meeting tomorrow night. Upstairs.
Okay.
And it's a fellow who is an Egyptian that. I think he was with the YWAM camp up in some.
Oh, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just here visiting.
When they put on that.
Right. But we asked him just to come and speak. He was raised a Coptic Christian in Egypt. But then he came to know the Lord later on. And he hated Muslims, but then God gave him a heart to minister to them and to bring them into a